Let me invite you to turn in your Bibles to Ephesians. Rob asked me to do a talk, a very practical talk, on continuing education as biblical counselors. And I think it's an important talk. It's something that we've dealt with at our church. So it's very, very practical, but let's at least put it in the context of a passage. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 1, we book takes a turn and it begins to make application. And verses 11 to 16 of chapter 4, it's one good long sentence. And in that sentence, it says that the church has been given pastor teachers, and their responsibility, it says, for the purpose of equipping the saints for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. So I think equipping of saints, that's the responsibility of pastor teachers. And then as it describes what is an equipped saint, it gives us the next two phrases, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body. So how is the body edified? I think, again, it's all one sentence, 11 to 16. The text tells us how the body's edified. It's in verse 15. With speaking the truth in love, that's the way the body grows up into Christ. It's the way the body gets edified. So what we know about a local church, and by extension what we know about biblical counseling, is that it is grounded in the education process. It's grounded in the learning process. Right? There's a lot of learning that has to take place in a local church and in biblical counseling in general. And so our time together this morning is really just going to be about what are some ways that we can facilitate that kind of learning. So the rest of our talk isn't, we're not going to look at Bible verses. The Bible really doesn't speak much about continuing ed. But we will understand that all of these various ways I'm going to suggest come back to the sense that the goal is to continue to edify the body of Christ. And in order to do that, we have to speak the truth in love. And the people who do that are equipped saints. And so that is our goal together. A couple statements here related to introduction. The standard model of leadership and training in most fields require continuing ed. You can't become certified in almost anything and have one certification and be certified for the rest of your life. Right? If you're an EMT, you have to get continual training. If you're a doctor, you get continual training. If you work on copy machines, you have to get continual training. If you are a mechanic, you have to get continual training. Right, and I know it's not brain science here, but you, again, this week are participating in continuing training. I think it's an important concept. ACBC, possibly IABC certification, some of you may be certified with that particular group. They are both in the process of developing continuing education. It's been a long time coming. To think that someone can be certified in counseling and then they are not encouraged through the certifying agency to continue to get better or to continue to keep their certification up, it really has been a hole, right? There's something lacking in that particular area for us over the years. So I'm glad to see that we're actually going to be working on that. My brother's a superintendent of a school system. And he's in charge of all the education. And what he says is that even though you had have a teacher that gets to 25 years in the classroom or whatever that particular number is, even though that's the case, it doesn't mean the teacher's good. Right? Because if she or he learned bad habits in years 1, 2, or 3, for all we know, they've just done those same habits for the last 20 years, and they retire as bad as they were when they started. So he pushes all the time to make sure that teachers continue to get better. That's the goal, and I think that needs to be the goal for us as well, regardless of the major certifying organization, whether they're into it or not. Wisdom suggests that we make a concerted effort to develop and implement our own local strategies to strengthen our continuing ed. We don't need to wait on IABC or ACBC to say, hey, here's the way to do it. No, it's up to us to make sure we're doing better, and it's up to us to make sure we're helping others do better. So let me suggest several key areas to focus, both our time together and your efforts of continuing ed. If you'll notice, we're going to talk four categories. The biblical counselor, so that's you or the people, the team around you. And again, as I talk, the stuff I'm encouraging you to do, you can do by yourself or you can do with a group of others. But first, it's you, the biblical counselor, your character, your walk with Christ. And I think what's unique about biblical counseling is that there isn't any other kind of counselor in the world where his or her life matters to what's actually being counseled. Right? You don't go to a psychologist and say, hey, how's your walk with the Lord? Tell me if your children are obedient. What's your relationship like with your wife? Right? Those are not issues. We talk to a psychologist, psychiatrist, a family therapist. We go to professionals all over, but we're not talking to them about life. But if you are in the middle of a major marital upset and you sit down to do marriage counseling in a local church and they realize that you're separated from your spouse, you've got a problem. Your life matters. It's what makes biblical counseling, one of the key elements that makes biblical counseling unique and different from every other kind of counseling, is because how we walk in to that particular room and in that particular moment, our own life and character matters greatly. So I think when we think continuing ed, we have to begin with our own hearts. So that's the biblical counselor. The next is counseling content. And we're going to be talking about some ways that you can grow in counseling content. That's your knowledge. The third part is counseling skill. Again, all these areas that you're probably dealing with this week. And then the fourth will be counseling context. And we're going to put it in light of the local church as well as parachurch organizations. So let's begin then with the biblical counselor. Let's begin talking about how do you put yourself in a place and put those on your team in a place where they can continue to grow. There are three specific ways that our team does continuing ed or continuing training for our counseling team. Here's the first one. That's character self-evaluation. Right? Whomever the person is, that student will document that you can devise a self-directed plan to grow spiritually. The goal is to observe within the context of our local ministry what that growth plan looks like. Now, we do that a couple different ways. The first thing we ask them to do is to go to Matthew and list all the Beatitudes found in Matthew 5, 1 through 12. And as they list those, we want them to write out some working definitions. The functional look of those, the essence of what's going on. And then after they write those definitions, then we have them list the qualities that they think are personal strengths as well as to list those that they might consider personal weaknesses. So we begin that process. This is one of our character projects we do. We begin that process in Matthew. We also then add with it Galatians 5, the fruit of the Spirit. Again, we do the similar exercise. We ask them to look at that, functionally determine what it looks like in practice, write it out, list the qualities that our personal strengths as well as list the qualities that are personal weaknesses. So once they get that particular part done, then we come along with the third element and we say from each list, choose one weakness. That means we have a total of two weaknesses as you see as something that needs to be strengthened now. Right? They may have 10 on their list, but just choose one from each. Because the reason we say choose one, which means you're going to be working on two things, it's because the more things you ask them to work on, the harder it is to see good progress, right? So again, the atonement buys God's patience, so we allow somebody to work on those. Then we ask a close friend then to review your general listings and definitions from both lists and then to evaluate your conclusions as to weaker and stronger qualities. Now, we ask them to do a friend. They can do someone they've counseled. They can talk to someone that is their accountant.